T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on Cody and Gold, this hour brought to you by KCNWSL, 30 minutes away from the Chiefs red half hour. The text line, by the way, is red. They said, doesn't Geppetto from Pinocchio get swallowed by the whale? We were talking about the gentleman that got swallowed by a humpback whale, and we were like, was he just chilling, hanging out there? It turns out in Pinocchio, of course, the whale eventually sneezes, and they go, they just say Gesundheit.
That's probably how it happened.
They say Gesundheit at the end, and like, and they're gone, and they're off on their little raft thing again.
Geppetto's a creep. Out here building young boys for himself. No good.
As Rob Britton's in studio with us. It's no the good. Forum here
got
on a Tuesday.
Vibe.
Rob Britton on the drive, of course, and I don't know if he wanted to just talk soccer, so he thought that's why we asked him, and we didn't.
I just assumed. I mean, we got a match going on right now. Portugal and Hungary, full capacity. I just assume that's why I'm in.
We did talk soccer yesterday, Rob.
Oh,
briefly,
nice.
But it was fortunately he's doing well, but because of the Christian Eriksen and a gentleman from Denmark and the scary scene there with the CPR and he was gone. He was dead.
That was the word they used, gone.
But
he's okay.
He sent out a video this morning or a message this morning, so all is good. So no, we're not talking Euro Cup finals or Group
Today's
F
the best
or whatever.
Group. Today really? We get Group F, Group of Death. We get Hungary and Portugal, which means you get the best player in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo. And then later this afternoon at 2:00, I'll be laser focused on the show. On that time will be Germany and France, which is a World Cup knockout round quality of match. You get a group stage. Some of the best players in the world in that match.
I will be sure to make sure I'm locked into that.
I do like really good soccer. But there's a difference, man. There's a real drop down.
I watch the World Cup.
I mean, this is like the World Cup, except you don't get all the riffraff. You don't get any of the, I mean, no offense,
crappy
to like
teams.
Costa Rica or whatever.
USA. Yeah, the men's.
But the
U.S. men's national team's not in there.
Well, they can't even make it in.
Hold
what are you
things
talking
up.
About?
Yeah, I mean, but you don't get like the Perus or the teams like that. They're like, oh, they're in a group. I would say Ghana, but they beat the U.S. so often I can't call them riffraff.
Can't mention Trinidad and Tobago. You can't really.
They
you
don't
can't
make it. They are the definition riffraff, though.
Yeah, but that's
they
but
just
the
spoil
US
the
men's
US's
national
bid.
Team is like that.
They're just good at preventing the U.S. from getting into the World Cup.
They just have name brand value. They're like the Cowboys of soccer. Like we watch because like people know who they are, but no, they're not actually good at the game. The women's team, incredible, best team in the world.
I saw an every day should be. I think it was every day should be Saturday on Twitter. Put out this thing where he compared every country in the world because there's a lot of international soccer this summer. He compared every country of the world to a college football team, and he called the United States Michigan. He's like, they think they're really good, but they're not.
So Nebraska, same vibe.
Very, very much same vibe.
Sounds about right. I also apparently just
but they were like Michigan was once good. Nebraska was once good. The U.S. men's national team, not good.
They're not that good. They've had pockets where they made a couple runs.
Yeah, they've been
knockout stage. But
yeah, I mean they went to the quarterfinal once.
Yeah.
That was a fun ride. There's nothing when everybody gets on board with that's a lot of fun. I apparently also at least Grant didn't miss the memo or missed the memo, I should say, like I did as well. I wasn't aware I was supposed to wear the same t-shirt.
Shirt.
Cody's wearing a vote.
Oh, no,
KC shirt, and Rob's wearing a Vote KC t-shirt.
On the same show,
they're identical. I missed them. I didn't know that's what we were doing today, guys. I didn't know it's an all-star voting pitch, I guess, for both of you.
I made jingles for Whit Merrifield to be an all-star, so yeah. I am fitting the rest of the bill here.
Oh, my. You made more jingles?
Yeah, of course he did.
They're very good.
So what's the difference? I mean, the songs are the long form, the jingles are the short
jingles form. Like 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, jingle under. All of these are under 10 seconds, Rob. None of them are particularly
not too bad.
Long.
The songs get away from you time wise. Those become
the last one was 3 minutes long. That one started off like a minute ten.
That was because it was Boys to Men.
Yeah, I needed the whole song.
Essentially, rip off is what it was.
That was during the 11 game losing streak, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
You really need to make a new one. I mean,
or just play that one again. Can I not just play that one again?
I mean, the Royals are playing now worse than they did in that 11 game stretch.
They are. There's nothing positive with them right now. Honestly, tell me.
I got nothing. I got no positives.
I mean, Benintendi was that, and unfortunately, he's going to be out for a while with the fracture of the rib. So there really isn't anything where you could look at individually and say, you know what, that guy I'm currently really happy with and excited about him.
I'm actually interested to see what Edward Olivares does with regular playing time, but I would have preferred that came with Andrew Benintendi still in the lineup. So
I mean, I can tell you what Olivares is going to be. He's every other outfielder they have. He's a slap-hitting singles guy with some speed.
No, he's not that bad.
I know he has shown some power in AAA, but we know the gap between AAA and the majors this year is enormous, a Grand Canyon-sized difference. So in the majors, I think he's going to be a slap-hitting singles guy, at least for the duration of this stint up.
Well, that's better than what they have currently, which is a guy in right field who swings and misses at every... He doesn't slap anything.
That's true.
He doesn't touch the baseball.
He hit a double last night. You leave him alone.
That's the thing.
He's actually hitting a little bit better since he came back from the IL.
The game was bad last night, and then, of course, Jorge Soler has also his best game in a while, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's how bad players...
Tiger pitching, too. Let's also keep
that bullpen of the Tigers.
Boy
got hurt in the third, and so you got to the Tigers' bullpen, and you thought, oh, maybe there's a chance that the Royals could
Names coming on the bullpen last night that you could have told me were MLB 2K auto-created. I would have believed you from the Tigers' bullpen. I don't follow bullpen like that, but when they start bringing guys out, I was like,
stash.
Who's this man? Who's this guy? And they flashed his stats. I'm like, he stinks, and he's mowing down Royals.
It's just, you know,
they're just a streaky team because they're not good enough yet.
Look, we're all, you know, trying to figure out 2022 and all that, but depending on where everybody's win total was before the season, I mean, what'd you tell me today? They're on pace for 75 wins. I had them at 74 wins. So I can't, like, based on that, I can still be frustrated, of course, but also they're an average / below average team that has some injuries, and the key pieces either haven't played this year or the ones that have, Hunter Dozier, have been terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I would make a strong argument. Like, as frustrated as you are, they're above the Vegas win total.
Mm-hmm.
They're about, I thought
by
they were
half,
78.
Right?
Yeah. I thought they were a 78 win team. So they're not like way off of like what would have been a reasonable person's expectation for the Royals are. And they do not have, I swear to God, they do not have a single player outperforming, like having a career year outperforming what would have been a normal expectation for them. Not one.
Benintendi's at his.
He's below career at, or he's at career average.
He's at career average, yeah.
He's not in a career year.
Correct.
He's at career. Oh, congratulations.
He's the only one.
Way to hit career averages, Benintendi. The whole team.
On this team, playing to your career average is a lofty goal because only one doing it.
Like, to me, I don't want to be the, like, forever optimist on the Royals, right? But apparently I will be in this moment. That would suggest this team could be a whole lot better in the second half. No one is outperforming most guys. I would say a quarter of the team are bad. Like, way worse than they've ever been under normal circumstances. And then, like, another quarter of the team are having below average normal years. Let's lump Witt into that group.
Yes, he's below. Mm-hmm. He's below average group.
No question.
And then there's probably a quarter who are average, right? And most of them are all in the bullpen. Like Barlow, maybe Prince. Prince might be the one guy who's outperforming what we expected.
But we also don't have
one guy. I found him.
We don't have a sample size really to say like he is this, you know? Like,
no, but he's outperformed what my expectation was for Jake Prince. I'm sorry that I said no one. There's one.
He is having a career year only because his career has been a couple cups of coffee before this season. So of course he's outperforming that. He's actually a bright spot in the bullpen. But
yeah.
He is one that's outperforming only because the career has been so marginal. What's frustrating to me, and maybe it's just like what I did to myself, is I thought they'd be a 78-win team, and I thought they'd kind of putter along until like July, and then the arms would slowly come up, and they would add some life and some energy, and they might not be Cy Young guys when they first come up, but would show flashes of, oh man, there it is, and you get your teeth kicked in every once in a while, and et cetera, et cetera. But it seems like every time they bring up a young pitcher, he stinks. And then we have to have the conversation of, did they rush him up? Because Kowar has come up, and outside of chewing his gum really, really hard, has he done anything exceptional? No.
No, he's been
Daniel
bad.
Lynch, I don't know if it was pitch tipping. I know people were
referencing
that.
Clearly it was more than that. I mean, he's been down there for a month. Last time, Rob.
He hasn't pitched great down there.
Last time you were in studio for the forum, we talked about, like, how long would he be down there, and like, would it be more than one or two starts? That's been a month.
Mm-hmm. So he came up and didn't give this ball club the life that we anticipated. And, I mean, I know we all love Brady Singer, but, you know, he's kind of meh this year, a little below what we had expectation-wise. I know he's considered one of those young arms.
Of the group, he's been the best, or we think he's the best, but it's that's the issue. I mean, look, it's extremely disheartening, to your point, Rob, about what we know has to work for this team in 2022, 23, 24 to be competitive. A, Mondesi, I still think, does have to be part of that plan for
absolutely
it to work. And
sure,
and we've only seen six games of the guy, or seven games of the guy. And not all,
I mean,
those young pitchers.
I mean, people love what they've
that's
seen.
That's right. We were saying,
that's
it's
why
gotta,
we were trying to get with the jingles.
That's what it was. And also, we were trying to figure out where the votes were coming from. Clearly, they're not from Royals fans. It has to be people just looking at OPS. I think it's OPS. I'm not sure, but I think it's OPS, and he's still like
he's
at
like
the
third.
Very top.
I'm gonna say he's like. I thought he was league leader for all shortstops for a while.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Otherwise, it makes no sense whatsoever. But it's just disheartening. Now, look, Bubich, Singer, Kowar, Lynch. No team. It's amazing, frankly, that four of the five have made the majors already. Honestly,
yeah,
made a start.
That's good.
Like that doesn't happen. A lot of guys just never even make it.
Correct,
but. So they're never going to have all four guys. You're not going to have a five-man rotation next year and four of the five are those guys. That's not realistic. But so far, Singer's going to be the best of the bunch, and then Kowar's a bullpen guy and Lynch is a bullpen guy. All right, that's how a lot of times this stuff plays out. And it's just right now we haven't seen any of the suggestion that any of them are going to be aces yet.
I mean, we can make the argument none of them are going to be better than, like, what Mike Minor career-wise is right now. I mean,
look, you take Mike Minor's career, if all four of them are that.
I know,
but
are any of them right now top of the rotation guys? And that's what's extra disheartening to me is that I've always been the guy who's like, you know, maybe a little bit hesitant to believe in this pitching because Dayton Moore has developed almost none in his time, and we've had a decent sample size of his time in Kansas City. It's not like he's been a GM here for 4 years. He's been a GM here for 14 seasons, and pitching development has been basically non-existent. These guys are supposed to buck that trend. And if they all come up and they're into the rotation, middle of the pack, Jeremy Guthrie types, then that's got to be a supreme disappointment. And it's also disappointing on the no developing pitching front that if we think the best of the best was Duffy or Ventura, and we always know what happened with Ventura, it's, you know, will always be an unknown, very sad passing of his life. But if the best of the best is Duffy, for what we know, and his ERA career, 4-4?
Probably.
It's frustrating that the Royals can never develop a star. They just never seem to develop a star. Every other organization in baseball seems to have come up at some point. The Royals cannot solve that riddle. It's like, where's the star? Where's the guy? Where's the, like, oh, wow, so-and-so is so good. I mean, every team has that player except the Royals. And when all these pitchers come up, and if they end up all being Jeremy Guthrie, which is a fine major league career, if they all come up in that, it's frustrating that you got told about how great they were, and they're all just league average. And that's what their ceiling is. Right now, Kowar and Lynch are not trending toward league average.
No, and I think Vern always has brought it up the last 2 weeks, and I think it's a good point, and there's a reason Kowar and Lynch were not the first and second young guys that were brought up out of that group.
That
there's a reason why
were.
It was Singer and Bubich, and he spoke about, you know, and Vern will join us tomorrow. I mean, he'll
join us today, by
and he'll
the way.
Join you guys today. There you go. There you go. And I'm sure you'll ask him about that, and I bet you he's going to give you some what I'm relaying, which is what he's been saying, and talking about they were more mentally prepared than what we've seen from Kowar and Lynch. And I'm not saying Kowar and Lynch are going to be busts and never make it. That's not what I'm saying. But yeah, like, there hasn't been any sign to suggest, at least in their combined, I get it, combined,
do you give
four
them a
stars.
I mean, I don't, because
Manaea's a sub-4 guy, but they traded him when he was pretty much a big leaguer.
I mean, he was what, double-A guy on the trim, or he just broken triple-A?
Just broken triple.
So I think
that's where a majority of the development's done. If you're in triple-A, you're developed.
So they traded him away, and they did a little more seasoning in Oakland, but Oakland has a track record of bringing up good pitching, so I'll give them a half player there.
And they get half for Brad Keller because they didn't have him as a minor.
Rule 5.
Yeah, they get
half each.
I mean, if
look,
whatever
Brad
half they
Keller,
had, they but. Have Brad on Keller slowly being undone by what's happening this season. His ERA has, what, ballooned to 6.3? Yeah.
Well, and look, this is not the let's call for people's jobs, because that
no,
doesn't do anybody's
not.
Job. But it is more than fair to be like, hey, Cal, what is it you're doing to help?
Talking about Cal Eldred.
Just help me a little bit here.
What would you say you do
who's
around
getting,
here?
Like, I've asked that before, but just who's getting better? Just who's
Brent,
getting...
your guy.
I don't care if you're the mechanics guy, so you help him solve those little things, or if you're the, like, make sure everyone's not a head case when they step on the mound guy. Whatever it is, they do have those things to solve. I honestly think there's a lot of bright still, because it's in a lot of ways, it's like there's no way, like, legitimately, it does not matter who plays right field for this team next year. They will put up better years than Soler. Better numbers. They're going to be better offensively in right field. They can't be worse. This was the argument making for Gordon for Benintendi. It's like, how bad can it go for Benintendi? They're going to be upgraded.
That's fair.
Now, they have been significantly upgraded offensively when he's been healthy. Unfortunately, he's hurt now. But it's like, there's multiple players you could say that. Like, Kowar and Lynch can't be worse. He went two innings. Went 2/3 and 1 1/3, right? In his two starts?
I think he's done 3 total innings, right?
Yeah, it's not good. Like, it's just
not
good.
Is it 3?
Might be 2. I think it's 2.
And he didn't get out of the
first. He went 2/3 and 1 1/3.
Has Lynch hit 10 innings yet? That's an honest question. Because he was not out of the first, not out of the second, and then he got into the fourth 1 inning. So is he at 10 innings?
He might be like at 8 1/3 or something.
It's, 8 2/3. Obviously,
what's he at, Cody?
Very, very early for me to call them busts. Okay. They've thrown a combined, what? They've thrown a combined complete game.
10 innings.
Oh, well, they've really...
They got the extras.
Now we
have... There was a runner on second.
But never mind. The book's out. We know what they are. I mean, so yes. And there's the excuse, and I see it on the text line. I don't have the text line in front of me, but we see it all the time. Yeah. Well, AAA is just so different this year than the majors.
Yeah. I think that's a real complaint.
I agree. You're going to have to take your growing pains in the majors, and I get that. I guess what's frustrating about taking your lumps in the majors to me is that all offseason, what we hear the message was from this team, we're tired of developing... We're tired of rebuilding. It's time to win, which is a fine message, and it gets the crowd fired up. And I got fired up hearing it from every single person in the organization that spoke to the media. But if that's the case, we can't be having these guys develop and take their lumps in the majors. They either need to be guys, and they need to be what Chris Bubich is. Maybe some lumps, but overall you're happy with his time in the rotation. Or they need to be in AAA just mowing guys down and being so above board that you have to bring them up and
keep
them up.
Well, I think that's the
issue.
That's
kind of what I think is happening to Kowar right now.
I mean, that's what I think that's exactly why Kowar got called up. It's like, look, this guy is just dominating these guys in AAA. Like, what good is it having him there?
It's very different than Lynch. I mean, he had earned his right to be called up.
Lynch is the category I'd say in this group.
I have zero problem that they called up Lynch when they did, or they call up Kowar when they did. I mean, I think plenty of people were calling for it. It's definitely hindsight 2020. What to me you have to do, and I'm sure they've done it within the organization, is finally what are we missing in that evaluation process? Because the numbers and everything is saying that Kowar is dominating in AAA. Is it the mental side of the game? What is it that is different as soon as they get to the majors? Yeah, of course the competition's better. But as far as like what are we missing as an organization? Are we misevaluating something? Why both these guys have really struggled?
Are we not preparing them for the pressure?
What is it?
Yeah. And this is where the conversation I think pivots toward Cody's point earlier. And I'm not calling for Cal Eldred's job, but that question falls squarely on the pitching coach, does it not? I mean, the manager is a former catcher, so he presumably has a little experience, but he's not a pitching coach. They dominate in AAA. Both of them have been very good in basically every level they've been in the minors. Every Baseball America, MLB.com pipeline, everyone who is in the know with prospects tells you these guys are going to be really, really good. They come up, and they're not just like taking their lumps. They're getting their teeth kicked in. And that's where, what in the organization isn't going right? Why are they so good there but so bad here? I do believe
Dayton and the scouts are all going to say these guys can pitch. What's the problem?
Yeah. So I think part of it is the chasm between AAA and the majors this year. I think that's definitely part of it. But the difference should not be an ERA from sub-1, which what Kowar had, to 36. That should not be the difference we see, which is where the ire kind of falls on Cal Eldred. And again, I'm not calling for his job, but it kind of reminds me, remember in 2013 – when the Royals had all these young guys come up and they were kind of talking about trying to be good, they had brought James Shields in, and they had Jack Maloof, who famously said that home runs are rally killers. And then they fired him.
That was a mistake to say that. You think?
You think it was?
That's what I know him from.
That's a tough quote.
But they broomed him. They had George Brett for like 2 weeks, and they brought a guy in. And suddenly, now we can say if Hosmer, Moose, and Kane ever reach their full potential in Kansas City, that's a different conversation. The hitting got better.
I still think they made a mistake firing Seitzer.
Those guys all got better after Jack Maloof got broomed. So, again, I'm not calling for Cal Eldred's job yet, but it definitely looks a lot like 2013 when you say everyone in baseball says these guys can hit. Everyone in baseball says these guys can pitch. They make the majors and not doing it. Dayton and the scouts are all going to tell you they should be doing it. Where does the blame have to fall? And I think it's eventually going to fall on Cal Eldred. I think he makes it through the season. I can't see a scenario where he comes back next year. I don't think firing him in June helps at all, but Nope. I think all this ire we have and the whole conversation we're having has to pivot, and the spotlight has to be shown on Cal Eldred.
Or it's just like, you know, it's anything else. Sometimes we talk about fresh starts all the time. Like, Cal just needs a new spot. That's what we try to talk about. Like Andrew Benintendi, right? He just needs a new location. Sometimes they need to hear a different voice, because whatever, you know, like, and I don't know that that's a decision they'll make. I know Dayton loves Cal Eldred. So, I don't know that that's, you know, a decision
and
that they're
and
even
him
close.
Work together in St. Louis, and I think they actually...
They've known each other for a very long...
I'm going to say one of them. I think Cal actually was a pitcher when Matheny was a catcher, like, in the sport. I think they caught for
but
each other.
This is how this job works. You're friends with all the people you work with. It didn't stop Terry Bradshaw from... Or not Terry Bradshaw. That's the current hitting coach. It
who
didn't
actually,
stop.
I think he's doing a fine job.
Like, it didn't stop Seitzer from losing his job. Those guys were still friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, this business is like that sometimes. It's a results driven business, and so like the starters is frustrating because like that falls on Dayton too. You're like, what is the hiccup? Like, you're right. Like, we're all trying to figure out the missing link.
I mean, Dave Island and Ned Yost were friends by all accounts, and after the World Series in 2016, they broomed Dave Island, and they went and got Cal Eldred. I'm sure Ned and Dave Island were good friends.
Now, part
Cal,
of that was Island wanted out. He reportedly was like, I'm not rebuilding a pitching
staff. Correct.
Get me out.
There were some extenuating circumstances. Yeah. I agree with that. But it wasn't like, well, he's my friend, so we're going to ride it out. They looked at him and said, yeah, I'm sorry. It's time to move on. Now, they went to Cal Eldred, who we can argue is not the guy.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll give you another chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll also get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I was on with you guys yesterday, Rob, in the afternoon. And, Cody, I don't know if you caught any of it as well. We were talking about an
Cody
idea.
Doesn't listen to us. He hates us.
That's what I hear. There's rumors around the building. There's definitely rumors around the building about that.
I got
that.
History podcasts and stuff to catch up on the way home sometimes.
History
it depends
podcast.
On the day.
I mean, he's got, a 20-minute drive home. That 2 to 220, that's no good for him.
Yeah, no kidding. So we were talking at the end about Carrington's idea, and he wanted to do like a dating show for me, and I said,
you have dibs.
And I said, and Rob
he
can
did,
attest, very
said,
quickly, I
dibs.
Said, that's not going to work. We've got to do it during middays. Cody's not going to be happy about that. We've talked about it. And so we came up with a compromise.
Oh.
A crossover event.
Mm-hmm.
1:30 to 2:30.
This is like Law & Order SVU?
It's a crossover event.
That's the exact
event.
Analogy
yeah.
that Carrington
My
gave,
wife
by
watches
way.
Both of those shows.
That's why I said it's a crossover event. It's the Cody and Gold with the Drive crossover. We got to figure out a time and everything to make this happen. I think we're going to do a Drive dating game with Cody and Gold. We can come up with the name and everything, but yeah.
I do like Pot of Gold. Text line suggested that.
Pot of Gold
strong. Is really good.
I mean,
once you text that in, we're going to go ahead and
I mean, I don't know how
idea.
We, yeah.
But yeah, Carrington has the history on the dating shows on the station.
He's got one
success.
Marriage under his belt.
Boom. Knocked
I
that
feel
out.
Like I know Gold the best in the
you
building because
the
we
best.
Work together every day.
Our shows definitely come to an adjoin in that break. It seems like a match made in heaven. And if the roles are going to keep, you know, being horrible, who wants to talk about them at 2:00? We can get Gold a date.
Okay,
and
so we're thinking like a 1:30 to 2:30 situation.
I understand
the perfect
too.
Combination.
My understanding is as well. There's also something in the works for Rob too.
We've definitely kicked the tires on that, but you know, that's an idea I can kibosh
behind
the scenes.
Am I okay to I'm okay to jump ahead of the line here?
Absolutely.
I can pull a Cody and cut ahead of you on
yep.
the line?
Absolutely.
Do it, man.
I mean, you're the one that went on the date at Char Bar last week.
Yeah.
I didn't go great.
We talked
but
about
you're
that
out
on...
there. You're in the world. You're doing the things. You're vaccinated.
Yeah. That's right. No, that's right.
How many girls
you,
are we thinking? Are we getting it down to three? Or are we thinking like a larger
you know,
number
what?
To get it
an hour. We're going to have some
numbers,
yeah.
right? Yeah. Yeah.
The
I
more
think it's better to narrow it down.
We thinking five?
Maybe we do it as
five,
a, maybe we do it as like an event. Maybe it's over over a timeline.
It is really like Law and Order. It's a two night crossover, two day crossover event.
We weed out the best, and then we bring the best for Gold. That's maybe how we do it.
3 days.
Yeah. I'm relying on you guys to you know.
We'll sort it out.
Yeah, we can
do a nice
out.
Job of eligibility and qualification. Fact, you know, that's all.
I mean,
I'm thinking anywhere.
It's where Cody you have knowing you is a strength. He knows what
yeah.
you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
free
I've got
spirit,
an idea.
Obviously, that's what we first need. Someone who doesn't check their phone. That's two big ones in your category.
He'd probably prefer they had like 3 or 4 kids.
Obviously,
older.
No one his age,
40+.
Obviously,
you know, whatever. Yeah, we'll find the window.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we can find a restaurant to help us out on this too. I'm sure we can make this all happen.
I mean, I'm gonna get like a camcorder in the corner.
Oh gosh,
they're gonna kick me out of this restaurant.
Gosh.
Clearly,
I mean,
Cody's gonna. Oh, that's
we
bad.
Can identify what you want to do on the first day. You're gonna jump in with a nice dinner on date one.
Someone says
relaxed and casual.
Yeah,
I think we set him up with different types of dates.
Oh, that's smart.
You know, like, you know, maybe a casual mini golf at the Nelson situation.
This is a multi-date thing? Yeah. I thought it was just I didn't know this was an ongoing thing. I thought it was just find one date.
I don't know. Several people on my Twitter watch The Bachelor. I mean, I'll consult them on how
they
handle
things.
That
show. Used to watch it quite a bit, actually.
I think maybe two dates is a better, like, we want a scientific method this. We want, like, a couple of, you know, sample size.
So one's the nice dinner, one's the casual drinks, one's, like, the fun event, like a top golf or a mini golf or a
It's Goldilocks. We've covered this.
There you go. Okay. You know. I like what
we've got here. Someone says, going for the gold is clearly the best dating show.
Oh, that's really a good one, too.
Pot of gold is good, though. I don't know that I
going for the gold, pot of gold.
That makes it sound like we're just trying to get you sex.
Going for the gold.
It doesn't sound like a date situation. It looks like we're just trying to get you laid.
That's true.
Very different scenarios.
Going for the gold would work this summer with the Olympics, but yeah, it does just sound like we're trying to get him laid and not a date.
Got a different vibe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we do.
Sounds like we got a crossover to plan. I'm in.
Yeah, crossover event. I think it's going to happen at some point this summer. Rob, thanks for coming in studio. We'll be listening on the drive. At least I will. I don't know if Cody will, but I'll
Cody
be listening.
Never listens.
Depends on the day.
He texts me and tells me things like, guess who's not listening? It's very mean. Very rude.
So rude. Up next, a chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. And one thing that one former chief had to say, or one current chief, excuse me, had to say that Cody completely agrees with.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and we'll get to something that Travis Kelce had to say the other day as relation to the rest of the AFC. But right now, let's give you a chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest.
Your dash for the cash code word this hour in the national cash contest is VIVID. V-I-V-I-D, VIVID. Text that over to 72881. You can be a $1,000 winner in the national cash contest. Next chance to win coming up at 12:30. Complete rules over at 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. The national cash contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL, BETQL. The word again, one more time, VIVID, VIVID, over to 72881.
We were working on some more details during the break with Rob.
Trying to decide if it's like a, you know, we just get three girls in here and get to one, or do we get like nine girls, Grant, and then have him date one of each?
A three?
And then bring all three of the girls he's now gone on a date with into studio and then discuss it.
Three separate dates with three different...
Three different vibed dates.
I mean, like, are these on the same day?
No, come on. We're not, like, mean. I think it'd be like a Friday, Saturday...
Oh.
I mean, are
three days in a row?
Saturday? I mean, yeah, probably, man. How are we going to get to it the next week?
I mean, it's going to be a three-part crossover event between Cody and Gold in the Drive for a Gold dating show, basically, is what it's going to be.
That sounds intense.
A lot
we'll
of
see.
Name
it might
suggestions.
Be a one-hour show. We haven't decided.
Yeah, a lot of name suggestions coming in on the text line. Well.
Where are you going to find these people, by the way?
You don't have any friends? You got any single girlfriends, Grant? Look, we're going to source it from a lot of areas. Do you know a girl who is single, who is somewhere between the ages of 25 and 35?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I do not. Not on my head, no.
That sounds about right.
I think we'll figure it out.
We're going to have to tap into our resources.
Yeah, I think
we'll make this happen.
There's a lot of angles to play this. I'm pretty sure
I feel more confident that it's not just one. Like, if it's Cody, Rob, and Carrington are all going to be part of the process, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, surely they have friends.
Yeah, we'll
someone
we'll
says, does Gold have to pay for all this?
I think we'll find some.
This is one of the
sponsors.
Benefits of doing it on the radio show. I would just say that. Probably.
Fantasy would normally have to pay for a date, but I think we can pretty assuredly like work out some sort
of says, or do the suitors have to pay for the date? And Gold pays for the date with the girl he picks. No. We're probably going to have some certain places we're going to have it set up at.
We've got a lot of lovely sponsors on this show.
That's right.
We'll find some fine Kansas City establishments to take care of.
Otherwise, they're right. If I had to pay for three dates in 3 days, back to back to back.
You know how many people, like when we did the garage sale, how many fine restaurant establishments offered up their locations for a date?
That's right.
The Flying Horse Tap Room once, right? And Heart Barbecue. We know that, you know, Joe's and Jack Stack and Q39 and Slaps, all these barbecue places. Look, we got plenty of choices.
I'm not worried about that.
I think Mini Golf and Nelson would be cool if somebody's listening who works there.
I think we would have no problem figuring out the actual date. What would the date be? That won't be a problem.
Yeah, we got to source enough women who will come on the radio.
That doesn't sound terrible at all. Just like the way, that doesn't sound terrible at all, the way you phrased that one.
We'll figure it out.
So we'll keep an eye out for that in the next weeks, months. ahead.
It's definitely binders full of them.
You didn't go there. Thank you for that. But it's going to happen this summer. It's going to happen sometime this summer. Keep the name suggestions for the show coming in as well. All right, let's talk some Chiefs. It's the Chiefs Red Half Hour after all. And Travis Kelce was talking the other day about the AFC. You think that he was just kind of giving some love for one team in particular because, well, they want to use it as motivation, essentially.
The opposite of what happens when you're a really good team. So when you're a bad team, right, you're like, we're out to get the big guy. We're just as good as them. That's what Cleveland says about themselves when they're taking on Kansas City. I think Travis Kelce, in an interview the other day, said that the Browns are neck and neck with the Chiefs. I think, truthfully, look, he's going to say that. I think he's just saying that because they're looking to kind of create an enemy. And the only enemy to create at the moment is the team that you face next, who factors into the AFC playoff race. The only reason he said the Browns are neck and neck is because they're their first opponent. He doesn't take any of these teams seriously, and how could you? Every single AFC contender, they have the number of. The Bills don't beat them. The Ravens don't beat them. The Browns don't beat them. The Colts don't beat them. None of the playoff teams beat the Chiefs regularly. Their only one issue over the last two seasons has been a single game in the Super Bowl. I honestly think that he just says those things to try to create, I don't know, some source of an enemy so that they, you know, like, it's like talking yourself into it. Yeah, they're neck and neck with us. Boy, could just take us down any day. I don't think he actually believes it.
I think some of it is certainly what you just described there with when it comes to the competitiveness and also trying to give yourself something to lean into a little bit more. It's not a coincidence. The Chiefs open up against the Browns. I think, honestly, if they would have opened up against the Bills, he would have said something very similar.
He said the Bills are neck and neck with us. That seems closer to neck and neck,
I think, by the way. I agree, and I agree with that. We've talked a lot about the Browns and the AFC contenders and everything like that and the gap that exists. Chiefs gap, Bills gap, another gap, all that. I'm with you. The fact that they opened up against Cleveland, to me, is also why Kelce is talking about the Browns being neck and neck. Now, he's right. The Browns are contenders. Like, him saying the Browns are contenders is not wrong. Again, we've talked about the who's a real threat. That's different. But the Browns are a contender. If you're a playoff team in that top 4 or 5, which I think is where they find themselves in that group with the other 4 or 5 teams, because again, I don't think it's like
with the NFL. If you're in the playoffs, you're technically a Super Bowl contender.
Sure, Browns to me,
and your quarterback isn't a disaster.
The Browns aren't a threat to me to Kansas City, and certainly after Week 1, I think that'll be clear. I expect the Chiefs to win fairly handily against the Browns Week 1, and you can say, how can you say that when you don't know the team hasn't even had training camp? Well, we've seen Andy Reid off season. Extra time getting ready. It's at Arrowhead. Fans haven't been in there, at least the full capacity fans haven't been there at Arrowhead in over a year. I just think it's going to be a ridiculous environment for the Browns to walk into, and all the motivation, the Chiefs, still a lot of the guys returning from last year upset about how that season ended. I think that all contributes to it.
Kelce, by the way, is not alone. Pete Schrager over at NFL Network or Good Morning Football, he agrees with Travis Kelce.
It's an amazing thing to come from Kelce, who, of course, has Ohio roots, but for him to kind of cede to them and saying, hey, we're right there with you, it's almost like he's setting them up for this so that there isn't the eventual, wow, are the Browns... Kelce's right, though. There is no flaw in this Browns team. It's not the Browns circus from years ago. And suddenly, they are as well-rounded a squad as it comes. And I look to the top, and I don't look at it as from Baker on down. I look at it from the coaching staff on down. Kevin Stefanski is the NFL's coach of the year, but he brought an accountability. He brought a disciplinarian factor that doesn't have to be from such a didactic standpoint where it's, okay, here we are, it's draconian old coach. No, it's a 38-year-old coach who says, let's respect each other. I feel like the Browns are as loaded a team right now with the coach of the year and with some of the most fiery offensive players in the entire league. They can go right up against it with the Chiefs. And last year, they had playoff experience. They went into Pittsburgh and they won. So it's not going to be this, aw shucks, what, where are we kind of deal. And took the Chiefs right down to the wire last year. If it wasn't for the Chad Henne 13-yard first down conversion, who knows what happens and then goes from there. So I know it sounds crazy. And you guys might argue with me, Kyle, Nate, I'm not sure what your take is on this. On paper, I feel like the Browns and Chiefs are neck and neck in the AFC, and these might be my two teams to pick in the AFC Championship round. Bills fans, I know you're going to be upset to hear that. Browns, they got a lot better this offseason.
The one thing about...
The love for the Browns just continues, man. It's unbelievable.
The coach of the year stuff, what the hell's that mean? You know, I know what they vote for coach of the year for. The team that had the lowest expectations performing the most above it. Doesn't mean you're the best coach. Where would you rank Kevin Stefanski right now amongst NFL coaches? 10th? 15th? Like, if you're being kind of kind, right?
Yeah, I mean, they won a playoff game with him in his basement. I'll say he's middle of the road. Middle of the road.
Also, it's like, now they got playoff experience. They played in two games? This is where this is actually underrated about the how the Patriots are able to hold teams down for so long, Gold, is like you would say they had things like playoff experience. Because like eventually Peyton Manning really did. Like he had played in 20 playoff games. So that's why he was a real threat to Tom Brady. Nope. Like Patrick Mahomes at now through 2 years and the year with the AFC title game is once again gonna have more playoff game experience than all the other quarterbacks who end up being in the AFC playoff games combined. Like, unless Wentz gets in.
Sure.
Because at least he's gone to a Super Bowl.
I think we also went, as far as Kelsey's comments, where he said they're definitely a contender, talking about the Browns. He says it's definitely there. Baker Mayfield, the gang, have upped the ante. He was, we know he's got ties to the Cleveland area, the Ohio area. And he was speaking to a reporter for the Akron Beacon Journal.
He's just saying it to...
I'm not saying he doesn't mean some of it, but also let's understand, he's from the area. He was speaking to the Akron paper. He was not going to say, no, they suck. No, they're not a contender. Like
And they're a good team. You and I have never argued that, right?
I've said the Browns are absolutely going to be in the playoffs this year. I just don't think they're anywhere near Kansas City. That's all. I don't think they're anywhere near that. I think they're in that same group of everybody else after the Chiefs and Bills and the AFC. And if you want to say they're close to the Bills, maybe so. We'll find out. A lot of it will be figured out by week 5 and 6. Because the Chiefs will have played the Bills. They will have played the Browns. They will have played the Chargers. The three teams in the AFC that everybody seems to love outside of Kansas City. The Browns, the Bills, and the Chargers. Those are the three, aren't they? I mean, really. Other than Kansas City, the Bills, the Browns, and the Chargers. The three teams that get the most love and hype in the offseason. And that's fine.
The Chargers, they've been keeping that going for like a decade or whatever.
Absolutely.
They're the undefeated champs in that arena.
We'll know pretty quick. Look, I will have to come week two. If after that Sunday, if the Browns on week one come into Arrowhead and beat Kansas City, I've got to talk differently about the Cleveland Browns. But I also think I could see, because of the Cleveland Browns, if they somehow pulled that thing off, which I don't expect them to, Cody, that would be such a high for them. It wouldn't surprise me if the Browns ended up actually having a much losing the next week, whoever the hell the Browns play. Like, it's one of those where if the Browns pulled that off, I could just see it being a situation where Cleveland's. And wow, that was like their Super Bowl week one. Like the Browns, they play the Texans in week 2, so maybe not, but that would be pretty funny. If the Browns beat, wouldn't be funny.
And then lose to the worst team in the NFL.
And then they have the Browns scheduled to start, by the way. So they have the Chiefs on the road, 3:25 kickoff at Arrowhead. Good luck. Then Texans, okay. Then they have the Bears, the Vikings, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Broncos, the Steelers.
It's a lot of decent teams. Yeah. No one's great, but there's a lot of decent teams in there.
The back end of the schedule gets interesting for them. Where they have, again, the Packers is unknown. We don't know if Rodgers is playing, but they have stretches. Back-to-back weeks, they play the Ravens. Then they play the Raiders. Play the Packers, and they play the Steelers.
They play in a tough division. Like, look, I don't think the Steelers are in any way a contending team, but they can beat you. You don't show up on the right day. They're well-coached, and they have an experienced quarterback. I don't think Roethlisberger has it anymore, but they're not going to get boat raced very often. They are going to win games against good teams because, truthfully, they're fine. Like, they're fine, and they're really well-coached. That was the thing we were joking about with, like, Le'Veon Bell yesterday, as I never understood it. Like, how are you going to have problems with two of the most respected coaches in the NFL and then be like, nobody...
When
you got a problem with Gase, look, everyone understands it. But the rest of it is what we're confused about.
Coming up at 1 o'clock today, live here on your official Chiefs broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio, you'll hear from Travis Kelce. We just mentioned a quote from him at his hometown paper, or local paper there, but you'll hear him live here on 610. Also, Frank Clark and LDT, two guys that... weren't at the voluntary OTAs. LDT's was a little bit different scenario. He had issues with just because of COVID trying to get in the country from Canada, frankly. Yeah. So that was a little bit different. But Frank Clark, LDT, that means that they're speaking today. They're both good to go for mini camp. But we'll find out. I'm sure someone's going to ask, as they should. I would hope. Frank Clark, like, was there much thought of showing up to OTAs? And I'll be curious just to see what his answer is. I told you I didn't think it was all that big of a deal that he didn't show up. But that's coming to you live here on 610 Sports Radio coming up at 1 o'clock. Jaron Reed, when we talk about Frank Clark, we pair those two together all the time because of their ties together in Seattle and the type of seasons they both had. And Jaron Reed is maybe going to give the Chiefs flexibility to have Chris Jones be on the edge and hopefully help out Frank Clark as well. Jaron Reed was talking the other day, too, about Tershawn Wharton. And Turk Wharton was a guy that none of us knew this time last year.
No, it was 7 days before the season started, his name started to pop up.
Had no clue who the guy was. This time last year, Turk Wharton, huh? What? And then all of a sudden on Twitter, there was like two tweets sent about his name. Like, yeah, this guy, Tershawn Warren's really impressing. We're like, who? And then all of a sudden, everybody was talking about him. And to his credit, he did come out of nowhere. We had him on our show, as a matter of fact. Fun guy to talk to about his time at Missouri S&T. And
I was thinking of it as Rolla, but yeah.
Yeah, down in Rolla or whatever. But yeah, so he certainly impressed. Now, Jaren Reed says that Tershawn Warren not talked about enough at this point in time. So just Jaren Reed, who has no reason to know anything about, you know, before what he knows
or
now.
To specifically brag about Tershawn Warren. There's right. a lot of guys in the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, this was last week. He said there's nothing much different. I watched film on the Chiefs beforehand, and of course, everybody watched the Chiefs. They're good. It's the same thing I expected. And he went on to say, Turk Ward is the one thing I don't think is one player I don't think is talked about enough. He's a great player, up and coming, second year player. He's going to be really good. Someone from the outside, coming in from outside the organization, that notices that in just the short period of time they've been around. That's a promising sign. About can Turk Warden take the next step is the big question. Last year, great story, came out of nowhere to get to a point where you were getting some, you know, snaps at the NFL level, number one, from where you started, and not just on a random team in the NFL, the best team in the NFL for all the regular season. And he was getting some, you know, snaps, key snaps at times. And so can he take the jump forward? He did it in a short offseason with COVID. All right. Now he gets a full offseason. So yeah, I'm excited to see if he can take another step forward.
The thing about the defensive line is they got two choices. They can either make small headway with multiple guys around the defensive line, right? So Turk Wharton can be pretty good. Multiple other defensive line, right? They can get the two sack performance, three sack performance over the course of a season from like four guys.
Mm-hmm.
To make the defensive line what we think it needs to be like a really good defensive line, not to win a Super Bowl. Their defensive line's good enough for that. But to like make that leap, to make Clark better, to make Jones better. And like, look, Jake Glazer reporting what we already thought we knew, which was this morning that Chris Jones is going to play more on the outside.
Yeah.
Or they could have one guy take a big leap forward. The only answer, the only possible answer to me in that equation is Joshua Kando, who I don't think it will be because he's a fourth round rookie. I only say him because I don't know about him. Or Turk Warden.
I think Taco Charlton deserves to be mentioned there too.
I think
because
Taco
the,
already kind of is who he is. Like, okay. I think he's good to be a four or five sack guy occasionally when he stays healthy. But like, you know, that's like counting on Sammy Watkins a little bit. He's been hurt a little bit.
He has
over the course of
I
his
just
career.
Think, and you're right. Health is always a thing with him. But you know, before the injury, I think we were all pretty surprised in liking what we were seeing. Taco Charlton before the injury was positioning himself to be someone like when they signed him a year ago. We said, all right. Really nice one-year deal for Taco Charlton. He's going to have a good year, and then he'll get paid big somewhere else. Unfortunately for Taco Charlton, he was having a decent year and then got hurt, and so that's what allowed him to come back to Kansas City. Because if he stayed healthy last year, I'm convinced someone would have given him a two-year deal somewhere else or a more significant one-year deal.
And instead, like Okafor, he ended up, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. No, something like that. So
I just don't think I see him turning into like, I'm looking for the guy who turns into the eight-sack guy all the time. Look, and I know that's a huge jump. Yeah, I don't know that they're going to get that. They can cover that with guys like Taco and Turk Wharton all being four sack guys, gold three sack guys, multiple, like they can just throw numbers at it. But the other way to make the defensive line dramatically improved, and that's what I'm hoping Jaren Reed's talking about. Like, they're not talking enough about the jump that Turk Wharton could make. Like, Taco Charlton in his career, the most sacks he ever had in any season, he played 10 games and had five. He's only played a 16-game season once. He only played in 11 in 2018. He only played in seven in the team for last year. He's already in year four. Like, there is a point for if you're an injured player already in year four, now heading into year five, what are we going to do? Look, Turk Wharton only had two sacks last year. He played in all 16 games, but only started one. There would be more on the interior for him if Chris Jones plays on the outside. There'd be more in that, like, flex role where he plays on the outside. Maybe he plays out, like, he's got to move around a little bit, but maybe he can be jumped to six, seven, eight sacks. That makes their defensive line. I don't know
that
he can.
That changes the entire dynamic.
I'm not counting on it,
dynamic.
But if Jaren Reed is right, what he's talking about is right. Because Jaren Reed has been an eight-sack guy. Like, he has been that guy before. If all of a sudden we got a completely different dynamic defensive line-wise, if he could be right about him.
Yeah, that changes also long-term, and we could head to the future of what the defensive line can be and gives you some more options. But that seems like a huge jump. We'll see if his name, once we get up to St. Joe for camp, I know we can't wait to be out there. We're going to be up there throughout training camp, of course, once we get to the end of July and everything gets rolling. So we're fired up about that. And I'll be interested to see if he's a name that and an individual that just stands out the way he clearly stood out to not just those in the media, obviously, but stood out to the Chiefs, and they found a diamond in the rough out of Missouri S&T. Is there another guy like that that exists? It doesn't happen every year by any means, but is there someone else that we're not talking about? Like, that's always what I wonder. Is there someone we're not talking about here in Kansas City, we as fans, as media, that is going to be the surprise of
I'm
camp?
I'm hoping to corner or defensive.
Right? I mean, that's if you're asking like, where it needs to happen.
One of those I two mean, positions would be great. I don't need it to be wide receiver. They're fine there.
They're fine there, but I sure... if you told me we're, you know, middle of August and
you
suddenly...
You know that guy's Antonio Callaway, though. Like, that, like if a guy pops onto the scene and all of a sudden is like... getting all the buzz, it's going to be Antonio Callaway. It's 1,000% going to be.
Well, I already...
Cornell Powell. That's it. Those are the only two choices.
Yeah, but I mean, that, if you told me August 15th and we're sitting there like, and Powell's really impressive, and I would say, wow, that's a huge pleasant surprise because I'm not expecting a whole lot right away from him. Callaway, yes, is the name, and we've talked about him. It seems if you look at the wide receiver depth chart and who could be part of that mix that makes up for a little bit of Sammy's production, but also... helps out, and maybe, you know, with Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson, it does seem like Callaway's that guy. I know people love Byron Pringle, but it seems like Callaway might be a guy that's a more realistic fit. So these are all the fun camp questions that we'll have a chance to get into as we get closer and closer to St. Joe, which, again, seriously, that's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to be up there every day. Love it.
That's what I've been told.
That's the plan, at least.
Are we carpooling?
We'll have to figure that out.
We don't really live close to each other.
I would have to drive up north to you, and then we go. That would make a whole lot of sense. It's out of the way for me to go from out south to that way to then to St. Joe. It's not like, oh, pick me up on the way. I don't feel like it's that kind of
I'm just gonna
trip.
And let's all hitchhike for an entire week, and we'll see how long it takes me to get there.
Yeah, you won't get there.
What, people don't pick up hitchhikers anymore? Like, ever?
I don't think
it's in the middle of the day. I'd be like,
I don't think people,
7 a.m.
I don't think people are picking them up. And then, especially if I saw you and I didn't know you on the side of the road, am I picking you up? I don't know.
It'd be nice if you did.
It depends. Are there baked goods? Do you have baked goods with you?
Just muffins? I feel like that's going to make me look more suspicious.
What if you just
thumb out in a tray full of muffins?
Just had a tray of muffins. You think someone would? I think you're more likely to get picked up at that point in time.
Get in trouble if I do that. I'm going to pass.
Don't do that. Just drive up there. If you need a ride, I can drive occasionally. We can figure that out. Hey, coming up next, we'll tell you about something we're doing coming up later on this month, as a matter of fact. And we get back to the Royals, and what honestly is there to be positive about with this current roster? Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.